You are listening to the Experience Points podcast for the week of August 25th, 2021. And we see Fortnite everywhere! It's everywhere!
Welcome back to the Experience Points podcast. My name is Scott Juster.
And I'm George Alboy.
We are the co-creators of ExperiencePoints.net. It is a serious but not humorless conversation about video games. I'm going to put down a goal for us this episode.
Oh, good.
Here we go. here's our personal growth goal. Our goal should be to not turn in to Old Man Yells at Cloud during this episode.
Okay.
Because we're going to talk about some things. We're going to talk about something.
Here's the thing. I feel like I've been an old man yelling at Cloud since I was like 12.
I was going to say, this is an exercise of perhaps going against our nature and just pure chronology.
Yep.
Because hell if we're not going to talk about some things that the kids are doing these days.
Yeah. fair.
There's a few news-ish stories happening. A lot of them have to do with Fortnite.
Yep.
so we'll talk about those a little bit. And then there's a few other, depending on how far we get, maybe we can talk about some of the other random ones. But we're going to talk about some of the news that caught our eye over the past couple weeks or so. And like I said, the F word is a part of several of them.
Well, I mean, Fortnite has been consistently a conversation in the industry and in the space for what? Like, it's going on, I don't fucking know when Fortnite first got big, but it feels like it's been around forever at this point.
I mean, basically years. Since they launched their Battle Royale mode.
Yeah. And the in-game events that they're doing are crazier, all of the modes that they're doing are crazier, the licensing is just getting additive. Like, you know, we hopped into Twitch to see what people were doing in Fortnite, and there are folks in Rick and Morty skins and Wonder Woman skins and Harley Quinn skins and like all kinds of Superman was in there. Like, you know, Thanos has been in there.
Yep.
There's all kind. You know, every big franchise. Has Star Wars been in Fortnite yet?
Yes, because they teased the final episode 9 with like the emperors laughing and stuff inside of Fortnite.
That's right.
Yeah,
man. weird times. Yeah. So I was joking with the intro of like we see them everywhere, but we do really kind of see them everywhere, you know?
Oh yeah. I mean, I guess I should look up the year when they put out the Battle Royale mode, because I feel like that was the thing that kicked everything off, you know? But ever since then, it seemed to accelerate.
Yeah, it's very, very bizarre. So the one I wanted to start with is this Magic the Gathering one.
Yes.
Because this is the one that I think is the weirdest to me. And it's because, you know, when I think of Magic the Gathering, it is a game that, and I say this as someone that plays Magic the Gathering, it's a game that's extremely nerdy, right?
Yeah.
When I think about this game, for the most part, it's people sitting around a table playing paper magic, you know, amongst friends. And more so, that's changed. They launched Magic the Gathering Arena not too long ago, and that's been a pretty big success. There's a bunch of people streaming it. Wizards of the Coast and Hasbro, by extension, have kind of doubled down on that space as well. And we even talked about this topic a little bit earlier in regards to licensing, but you know, Magic has slowly but surely started to bring in licensed tie-ins into the card space, because as far as I can tell, Wizards is doing gangbusters these days. Like, D&D is super highly played. It's never been more popular than it is now. The same is true for Magic the Gathering, largely due to Commander.
Yeah.
And the first big license in the paper space was The Walking Dead, and we talked about it because a lot of people gave shit for it, because it sounds weird, right? Like, if I'm playing Magic the Gathering and this is a game where some subset of the audience cares about lore and the fantasy of the world, and it's wizards and merfolk and goblins and dragons,
it is high fantasy style aesthetic,
Yeah, and that's, you know, that's shifted a little bit here and there as they've dipped into other planes of existence to experiment, but it's all been within that sort of greater lore, right?
Yeah.
The Walking Dead was a very surreal thing because it was drawing on characters from the now. Like, these people have guns and stuff, you know?
Right.
Fortnite, to me, feels like an even more extreme version of that because Fortnite itself is this... I don't know how to explain this. It's like a living time capsule. Like, it is of the now present moment, you know? But it's also not... Besides, like, the weird big heads and, like, the party aesthetic, it's kind of a grab bag. Like, what is even that aesthetic anyway?
Right. You know? What is the personality? What is the style book of Fortnite? You know?
Yeah, who's the main character? Like, you know, even The Walking Dead makes sense in a way because The Walking Dead... The cards that they designed for The Walking Dead were custom to those characters, right? Like, it kind of made, like, I'm not an advocate for it. I thought it was horrible. I never want to see anyone play those cards against me. But there was a character named Michonne who would make zombies, right? And, like, that makes sense because Michonne as a character walked around with a couple of zombies with her, right? Yeah. So it makes sense that that's kind of a thing. Fortnite, and in this case, they are reskinning old cards. So they're taking cards that have existing lore, like existing things. I don't know what card it is yet. Maybe it's like murder or something, and it'll just be like people beating a teddy bear or something to death, like with Fortnite colors or aesthetic or something. But it's just it's a very bizarre thing to take something like Fortnite and put it in and reskin Magic to that. And I say that knowing that Wizards of the Coast and Hasbro in particular have amped this up to an extreme degree. So they announced today that Fortnite was getting this Secret Lair bundle, but they announced right alongside that's coming along with Street Fighter is also getting one. Mm-hmm. So more video games in Magic the Gathering. Warhammer 40K is getting one. We've known that for a while.
Right.
Lord of the Rings is getting one. That makes a little bit more sense. Hobbits. Right. You know, dragons, like, high fantasy. There's, like,
literally wizards, so, like, that's probably the least stretch, you know?
But I don't think that, if you had asked me, I never thought in a million years is Fortnite. I mean, I guess it makes sense, because Fortnite is licensed everything.
You're right.
But it's just, it's a bizarre thing to really feel like, man, these worlds that, in, you know, a decade ago would seem so alien to one another and estranged from one another have really started, like, just spreading and conglomerating everywhere. And, like, what is that and why is that?
You know? So am I understanding this correctly that just because they're reprints, the cards function the same, stats are the same, kind of context are the same. This is kind of like a skin. Is that how you're interpreting this?
Yes. And so... This is distinct from the Street Fighter one, by the way. So Street Fighter and The Walking Dead, Street Fighter will be this, Walking Dead was already this, were bespoke cards designed for those particular things.
Yeah.
So when Chun-Li shows up in Magic the Gathering,
she her kicks name, you 300 times
it'll
in
be
a row.
Like Chun-Li, right? And she'll have like unique powers.
Right.
Now, Godzilla did this in Magic the Gathering by, they basically took existing cards and then had a skin where it was like Mothra or whatever. Uh-huh. And then underneath Mothra was the actual Magic the Gathering name.
Oh, so you could just quickly know how that card works without having to like consult the, you know, the card dictionary or whatever.
Exactly right. There's nothing bespoke on it. It is the exact same version of another card, but just reprinted. Now, it's unclear whether or not the Fortnite Secret Lair will be doing the sort of Godzilla thing where it has both names. My guess is it will just have the Magic card name, like I don't know, Doubling Season or something, a very expensive card in Magic. It's like $50 or probably more right now. If they do a Doubling Season, it would just still be called Doubling Season. It would have the same text, but the art, the color scheme, probably the flavor text would be like Fortnite related,
so
they've done like artistic designs, but it could be more than that. It could be the Godzilla way where it's like they've changed the name even, you know, but yeah, functionally they would work any other card. So if I'm sitting down at a table and I play my copy of Llanowar Elf and you play your copy of Llanowar Elf, but your Llanowar Elf is in a disco outfit and like dancing with fish people.
Right. I mean, it's so strange. Part of it is also the, the marketing cross section of who is this for? And you know, who is clamoring for this and what other reciprocal deal is on its way where, I mean, you got to believe that Magic at some point wants to appear in the digital video game Fortnite somehow. You know, like this
that's
is
what
some
I was
sort
thinking.
Of
like, do you
deal,
think that that know? Is? Do you think that that is kind of like the prerequisite? Like, Planeswalkers are going to show up in Fortnite?
I mean, anything could happen because of all of the other random shit that happens in Fortnite. And I would, yeah. I mean, Magic and Hasbro is a huge company, but it's hard to argue with just like how big and how saturated Fortnite has been. And so you got to believe that they also want a piece of that action, not just, yeah. you know, the opposite direction.
Yeah, that's pretty wild. I mean, we are at a point where anything and everything could feasibly be licensed into Fortnite. Like we've seen, you know, Rick and Morty is a great example, but it's what's so interesting to me is they'll come into Fortnite and then they'll, I mean, besides that case of, I think the Thanos mode lasted like a short period of time,
right.
they'll stick around for quite a while, you know, like right. that will be a part of that indefinitely. And so Fortnite becomes this like increasingly almost like children playing with toys, right? Like you might have a Batman figurine and it's fighting a Barbie figurine and it's on the backdrop of like Jurassic Park, you know? Because like that's just the collection of toys that you happen to have.
Yep.
That's what Fortnite feels as it adds more and more licensed things, you know, and custom modes into it, that it just feels like a playground. And before we started recording, I described it a little bit more like Roblox too, because we can talk about the Among Us thing if we want to shift over to that as well. But like, as game modes get added, it just becomes a space where anything that's licensed could be in it, and any crazy game mode could be in it, and it's it's just a playground. I mean, it's almost more like Minecraft at this point than it is a battle royale thing, right? Like when we're talking about it or thinking about it in pop culturally, or as it appears when these events come up, like Magic the Gathering or the Ariana Grande event or what have you, like it's not being talked about or described as like, oh, this is a hardcore battle royale shooter. It's just it's not that anymore.
It's one of those few games, like you point out, like Minecraft or Roblox or whatever. It's just a platform now, you know, for the most part. I mean, obviously there are lead modes and, you know, most popular modes, but it's almost a weird it's a weird postmodern marketing platform where anything can be in it. It's like it's actually weirdly the realization of something like Second Life or, you know, the real metaverse of Ready Player One or something, where like this is just what it is now. Like the whole point is to just get everything that people like and put it on one platform so you can keep them in that platform.
That's the perfect analogy. It's Ready Player One, and that's really upsetting. I don't want that. I don't want fucking the Iron Giant to be shooting people in Fortnite, please.
Well, let's talk about that. Let's talk about the Imposters mode that was recently announced. So this is, again, two massive phenomenons over the past year or two. Fortnite released a mode that is a very, very similar mode to the game Among Us, where there is a traitor and they are trying to accomplish tasks and not be caught by the rest of the people who they're trying to sabotage.
Yep. Yep. It is exactly the Among Us mode. There's tasks to do. There are some like discrete changes that I thought were interesting, but it's functionally Among Us.
What were the things that, because I don't have a huge amount of experience with Among Us, like what were some of the things that stuck out as, oh, that is an interesting spin on it?
So in Among Us, you can do, so everyone is given tasks, but if you're a murderer, you kind of have to fake tasks. So you can go up to like a task board and be like, I'm pretending I'm doing whatever.
Yeah.
In the Fortnite one, you can actually do them and other people can potentially see you doing them as well. So it's a little bit like easier to fake. The map was changed a little bit as well. I know that I think it was the community developer called out Epic for basically stealing the map, which is the main map from Among Us. Yeah. If you compare them, they look very similar.
Yeah.
I don't think that is a coincidence, but for what it's worth, I do like a more open map. I think that's cool.
Right.
And then they also changed up what some of the sabotages are. So if you're familiar with Among Us, all of the imposters can sabotage the map in various ways. More often than not, it's like turning off comms or shutting doors, things like that. In Fortnite, one of them was like transforming everybody into a banana outfit. And right. so you couldn't tell at first glance if you saw, say, two people down a hall and one of them killed the other. You just saw a banana kill a banana, right? Right. Like, that doesn't right. tell you anything about the perpetrator. So right. you still have to suss it out, even though you were sort of there invisible, right? So
right.
there's kind of, like, fun things like that. But, I mean, there's no doubt about it, right? This was someone saw the success of Among Us and that yeah. mode and was like, hey, let's put that into Fortnite. And lo right. and behold, here it is.
It's kind of crushing to see the Among Us developers, because they were just flat out about it. You know, the developers, it's funny, this person, Victoria Tran, who's one of the developers in Among Us, her tweet was just, it would have been really, really cool to collab. Ha ha. Just sad indie hours right now. And it's like, man, that's just, it's brutal, because, like,
yeah,
it feels like they really, I don't know, like, it feels, for as large as Among Us got last year, it's still a pretty small team. And
yeah,
that team was just trying to, that team had just caught a tiger by the tail and was trying to figure out what to do with it. You know, like, they had to cancel Among Us 2. They had to totally redo their roadmap. I mean, they were just trying to figure it out. And it was clear, I mean, Epic has billions of dollars at their disposal.
Yep.
They really, lots. They could do anything or everything. And what they choose to do is, instead of do a partnership with them, just basically lift the mode in much the same way they lifted the PUBG, you know, Battle Royale mode, which I guess shouldn't yeah, surprise yeah. me now that I think about it. I guess this is just their one of their plays. But yeah, I mean, it's just kind of
but like they,
savage
they could have,
to like
they could
to,
have reached out, you know?
That's
like,
what I
you
mean.
Could like, imagine like, a scenario where they reached out and they're like, yeah, okay.
Let's do this you know, let's do the way we always do, you know, whether it's with Lucas or whether it's with Kratos and God of War or whatever, and do some sort of collaboration deal. But for some reason they didn't, and it's just savage. Like, I mean, it's just so big, you know, like they didn't have yeah. to do it like that. Yeah, and it's also to me, it's like, oh, like I forget, like Among Us, the team is still small enough that they're honest on Twitter.
Yep.
Whereas, you know, if this were to happen to EA, there would just be a very, like, stoic, veiled tweet about, at EA, we love innovation and really want to care about our players, versus just, like, developers posting sad memes about, you know, what Epic did, you know?
Yeah, yeah. What's weird, though, is do you think it really had any impact on, like, Among Us playership, though? Like, do you think anyone who was still playing Fortnite... Like, I don't know, just there's a part of me that's like, I mean, maybe some people played Among Us and right. then said, okay, I'm back to Fortnite, and oh, I'm interested in Among Us, but why bother? Because now I have it in Fortnite. I don't need to play Among Us anymore. But it's not like this is their new bread and butter, right? Like, this is one right. game mode, and I don't know, maybe they'll be in a future map, but I doubt it. It's not really getting that support. So it almost feels like, again, from the Roblox perspective, you're just giving the core Fortnite player
right.
more things to experience in your game. And they're not going anywhere anyway, you know? Like, they're not flocking to Among Us. They're just flocking to anything. And all you're yeah. trying to do is just put more in front of their eyes so that they stay with you, you know? Like, in my mind, Among Us and Fortnite aren't really competing. Fortnite is competing against, like, Netflix at this point.
Right.
With the kind of shit that they have on display, right?
Yeah.
Like, the Ariana Grande concert, which happened recently. That's a crazy, weird, wild event. And I know they've done this a few times, but... That is not a sort of gamer moment, you know? Like, this is a bigger thing. And so what they're really competing for is just pure minutes spent in Fortnite. And they don't care what you do. You could be playing Among Us. You could be watching a giant Ariana Grande explore your Vore fantasies. Like, you could do whatever you want, you know?
I think that's the... That's why it's so disheartening for Inner Sloth. That's the developer of Among Us.
Yep.
I think that's why it's so disheartening, because... Up to that point, if a Fortnite player wanted to have a different experience, an Among Us type experience, they actually did have to disengage from Fortnite. You know, there was at least something to try to lure them away from that persistent platform. Yeah. And to your point, I think the whole game is... It doesn't really seem like Epic gives a shit about Among Us or not. They just give a shit about how can we keep people on this platform all the time, no matter what they're doing.
Yeah.
You know, if we could get them to, like, you know, if we can get them, and I think they have done this in the past, to watch movies in Fortnite or to buy shit, you know, I need to buy something from Amazon. Okay, cool. I'll just pull up the console from within Fortnite. You know, I think that's why it feels so mercenary, where it almost feels like it's not actually that we really love Among Us game modes, because they could have done this a year ago. Among Us has been super hot since,
that's a good point,
you know, a year and a half ago. They could easily have launched an imposters mode. It's just that, like, they do it now, and it feels like they are just made some calculation where it's like, hey, do you know, like, X number of million people do this Among Us? Oh, cool. Let's just put it on our platform so people stay on it. And we don't actually care about the mode. We just care about the engagement, you know?
Yes. Yeah. The diversity, like the buffet of it all, right?
Yeah. It's like, oh, we don't have this in our portfolio. Better do it, and then move on to whatever the next thing is.
I mean, what is the next thing? Are they going to put, like, Flight Simulator in here? They're like, fuck it. We've used Google Maps to create all of the United States.
I mean, you do wonder. I mean, it almost seems, you know, going back to, you know, prior conversation, like it does seem like the realization of what Second Life could have been, you know, because they just wanted people to be engaged in this virtual world. It just so happened that it came in the form of a battle royale game and then morphed from there.
Yeah. Yeah.
The concert stuff is interesting to me. I don't actually know. I don't get a sense of how interactive it is. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know, like, what are you actually doing as you're kind of trying not to be squashed, or maybe trying to be squashed by a big Ariana Grande, you know?
I mean, my understanding is that it is a segmented experience, and there are segments where they're much more interactive, right? So, like, the segment where they're on an airplane shooting at a big monster,
right?
That's just an on-rail shooter. They can't do anything, but they can't shoot, and you can calculate points, and if you're playing with friends, you can see, you know, who has more points shooting the big monster.
Yeah.
And then there are scenes where, like, Ariana Grande is just sort of singing to you, and she's on a ball, and you're, like, floating around in bubbles or whatever, right? Like, that's not interactive.
Yeah.
You can probably move the camera around and you move your little guy around, but, like, there's a limit to what you can do, right?
Or it's not just, like, doing, like, dance emotes that are or not related to the actual concert or song that's being sung, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I don't think that they are. I know that you can wear some of the, like, outfits and stuff that are related to the event, which is, you know, fine, more power to you, but...
Right.
Yeah.
I mean,
just kind of experience it. You let it happen.
It is strange because it's this weird combination of, it is definitely an event, but it's clearly not a live event, in that Ariana Grande is not a VTuber that is performing live. You know, like, this is a recorded thing that is
actual size, by the way. People don't know this. Ariana Grande is 50 feet tall.
In the virtual world, I mean,
that's how she got the name Grande.
That's Ariana Mas Grande. it's a strange combination of it's appointment television or appointment gaming.
Yeah.
But the appointment is to kick off a scripted event. You know, you got to go here at a specific time so that you can participate in this thing that has been pre-scripted, but you have to be there at a certain time to see the scripting of it, you know?
Hearing you say that, it just reminds me how ahead of its time 1 versus 100 was on the Xbox.
Yes.
Man, I miss that game.
Well, and also the fact that was live, you know, like, yeah, it wasn't just like, oh, you're going to see a pre-rendered, or like you're going to participate in a pre-built scene. It's like, oh, there are other players, and there, or, you know, what was the one that was super popular a couple of years ago? HQ Trivia.
Yeah. HQ Trivia. Yeah.
You know, which is actually, you know what? That's what they should be doing next in Fortnite.
Trivia?
Yeah. Put a game show in Fortnite.
That's a great idea.
I'm shocked that they haven't done that. Maybe they have. I don't know. I'm shocked that they haven't done that already, you know?
Yeah. The wild thing about the events is that it really feels like you are crafting you're just basically crafting a complete different thing, right? It's very much like the Fortnite as a toy perspective.
Yeah.
You're partnering with Ariana Grande or her publishing team or whatever, right? But in the way that it's done in Fortnite, it's significantly better than the way the sort of YouTube Post Malone Pokemon concert was, right?
Right, right.
That one was a scripted thing, and it was using the you know, the visuals of it, but you can't physically be in that space in the way that you are in Fortnite.
Right.
And so those Fortnite in-game events feels it's like, here are the Lego pieces. What kind of artistic story can we tell, or visual story can we tell, or, you know, music video style story can we tell within the limits of Fortnite? And as Fortnite adds more and more items and modes and like weird things,
right,
it's really, you can really think outside the box. I would love to know how long that partnership was between Ariana Grande's team and Epic Games, how long they were working on it together, what degree of collaboration was really there, because it is kind of a fascinating exercise to start from scratch and say, all right, cool, what do you want to do in this space?
Right.
We can basically do anything.
Yeah.
You want to be yeah, a fucking huge 50-foot tall woman and take a hammer and like crush people from bubbles and stuff? We can do that, you know?
Well, that's also their secret weapon of, not only can we do anything, we're willing to do anything. Like, yes. There's no style Bible that we will not budge on.
Yep.
You know, you could look at it in either way. You could look at it as they're so confident that anything can fit into the metaverse that there's nothing too sacred or nothing too precious that they're willing to, you know, experiment with. Or you could look at it in a more cynical way of like, there is no guiding philosophy behind the aesthetics of Fortnite. It's just can be crammed in will be crammed in. And that, you know, it was one of my, when I see the Ariana Grande music video, Fortnite has, because they need to cater to all of these different partnerships and different angles, Fortnite has started to look like a video game, a fake video game that you would see on a television show.
Yes, for sure. 100%.
Because it's so, can't like, have a overriding aesthetic, you know?
Yeah, because it's so, it's animated in that way.
Right.
Yeah. Like Play-Doh almost or something.
Yeah, it just has to be that way because it needs to be as generic as possible so that everything from Godzilla to a pop star could fit inside of that metaverse.
You know, if anything, I'm really kind of surprised that they're not doing more of these sort of musical events, but not for music. Like, why not do this for a film, you know? Have a whole story take place, or have scenes take place within Fortnite. I mean, I know you mentioned the Star Wars thing and, like, the Emperor, and there was the Thanos stuff, but that didn't really, it wasn't, like, this timed event. But there's no reason you can't take this idea and say, we're going to have a 15-minute, I don't know, like, a horror experience, or a 15-minute, like, other kind of experience that's tied to, like, I don't know, the Spider-Man multiverse or something, you know?
Right. I mean, it's in a weird way, it almost feels like the earliest days of this, where it started off as they struck the right combination of it being free to play and fairly approachable and a hot game genre when they first started it. And now they can now just fully transcend and just be a engagement platform that just so happens to sometimes have games, sometimes have concerts, sometimes have whatever political rallies or whatever else they want to do on it, you know?
Yeah. That's the wild thing, is it's so hard with that in mind to imagine like what could it be next. Like, who knows, right? Yeah. Like like you said, it could be a voting platform. Maybe there'll be a fucking Biden campaign in Fortnite. I don't know. Like, maybe weird anime, cartoons, like anything can sort of happen here. That model, specifically the licensing model in particular, when thinking back to the Magic the Gathering thing, that's what, in a weird way, that's kind of my fear, that it'll spread out, right?
Right.
That people will realize the best way to sell our products is by licensing other things, and everything will just start to blend into like a sort of Disney Marvel aesthetic, you know?
Yeah.
We're going to have Fortnite on Magic the Gathering and Street Fighter on Magic the Gathering, but why not Fortnite in Destiny, and why not Destiny in whatever? And sure, of course, this is like a slippery slope, and I don't want to be old man yelling at clouds, as you had mentioned, but I think there is a legitimate thing of like, you know, where's the right and wrong place to say like, this is going to be a discrete private space.
Right.
When we see something like Fortnite having long-term success, specifically by providing everything and throwing everything in the kitchen sink at it, you know, and providing a buffet, if you will, of various properties. Because if you want to compete against Fortnite, you kind of have to do the same thing, right? Like, you need to offer everything.
Yeah.
Because being your just one thing, not going to be the sort of cultural touchstone that Fortnite has become.
I was looking through some of the, they call them collaborations. And I was thinking to myself, like, what other platform aside from, I don't know, like on a very micro scale, maybe Smash Brothers. But even that is like pales in comparison to what Fortnite has been able to achieve, where on the same platform you have a, you know, a Kratos character and skin, and you also have a Master Chief character and skin, where it's like, okay, two platform exclusives that have nothing to do with any sort of the game mode that you're pushing are now part of this weird meta platform that you made. I mean, it's just a testament to just how this is, and I don't even mean this in a bad way, but like, this is like not even a game anymore, you know. It's just a place that people want to interact with.
That's why it's fascinating to me. I don't know, in a weird way, I'm curious, like, what is the most popular mode these days? Like, what are people really playing within Fortnite? Because they're clearly spending time and money in it, you know?
Right.
But are they still doing Battle Royale and just fun to be wearing different skins? Or, you know, is it just they hop between them, you know? Or is the space big enough where it's, like, big enough for everybody, you know? You have people who all they do now is play the Among Us mode in Fortnite, and that's sufficient for them. Whereas other folks are playing the Battle Royale, or maybe others are playing, you know, all kinds of other modes that are available.
It's just such a realization of, I mean, I remember when it was funny that, you know, like, even back in the day when, like, WoW would have, you know, what game did it have? Like, Bust a Move or something, like, inside of the game as you're, like, going from place to place. Like, it's just the kind of realization of, we know that you have other things to do while you still play this game, and maybe you actually don't even care about the game anymore. We just will try to serve everything up to you, you know. just stay here, just stay on the platform.
Yep. J Balvin is in it. I don't even know who that is.
What the fuck? So what? I mean, to me, I don't. You know, I don't actually really engage with Fortnite all that much, because I think I still think about it in terms of a game. You know, I think about it in terms of, oh, hey, this is a battle royale, and I only have so much room in my life for that sort of stuff. But, you know, if they start doing weird concerts and they start doing, like, other things, like, then that could also be an angle for someone to try to attract someone like me who doesn't even care about the game. They just care about whatever spectacle is going to be there.
Yeah, it's a good point. Yeah, I mean, maybe we should just download Fortnite and have it as, like, a, you know, like, it's a YouTube network or something. Like,
yeah.
Oh, what's weird going on? Oh, the guy from Free Guy is in it? Okay, cool.
Well, I mean, I don't know if this is the case or not, but you could easily see, it could become a YouTube-like platform where, oh, we're going to do, I'm probably making an ass of myself because this probably already exists, but this is a talk show, but on Fortnite, or this is a podcast, but on all the characters are Fortnite characters, and, you know, we treat it as, like, a traditional podcast, but we can, like, jump around and do stuff and, like, have our own skins and stuff while we do it. Like, it's just it's just like a broadcast network, you know. It's like public access television at some point.
Yeah, and then you get some really weird shit in there. That would be great. The future Caller, of the go ahead. Podcast is on Fortnite.
Yeah, it's very strange. Any other kind of weird metaverse news that we didn't cover?
I think that's it.
Also, ironically, Street Fighter, looping all the way back to the Magic stuff, you know, Ryu has been running around in Fortnite with, like, a chain gun for some time now. So
that's right.
He's no stranger to cross collaboration.
I mean, Capcom, hey, they'll just hand it out to anybody.
Are you going to engage with the Magic the Gathering, either Street Fighter or Fortnite, anything stuff?
Honestly, it depends how it's implemented. For Fortnite, hell no. Right. But if it lowers the price of the actual cards that they're reprinting, then that's fine. But again, like, Secret Lair, they're available only for a short time, and they tend to be relatively expensive. And so it doesn't actually impact the value on the market of the original cards very much.
Okay.
Magic the Gathering, if you aren't aware, by the way, has just skyrocketed in price. Like, because of the huge influx of players and the popularity of Commander, right. cards that literally 5 years ago were selling for $1 are now like $50. Like, man. My collection is worth so much money right now because it's just the value. Like, decks that I built a year ago that were like $50 budget are now multiple hundreds of dollars.
Holy crap.
For that deck, right? So, like, it's a wild thing.
Is that just like a combination of like people are into it now? There's more hobbyists because of the pandemic. Like, what is that?
Yeah, exactly right. I mean, there's just more people playing it, I guess. I don't know. Yeah. I mean, Commander was huge in terms of its success for it. And it, you know, old cards that wouldn't find a home are suddenly popular, and they'll print new cards that make old cards, you know, better. And so there's these staples that are in everyone's decks. Like, I have 17 Commander decks, right? There are some cards like Sol Ring, for example. It's a common, but that's a common that's still like $2.50 or whatever, because it's in every single one of those decks. You know, so multiply that by however many people. Anyway, the point being is, I won't really touch it unless it's done in a way that I sits better with me, right?
Right.
If they do it in the Godzilla way, I'm fine with that. I personally don't want to buy a Street Fighter version of a card or a Fortnite version of a card, because that franchise doesn't mean anything to me. But I have no qualms about buying specialized cards that are cool artists, or you know they just recently did a D&D crossover, a whole set that was Adventures in the Forgotten Realms. Those cards are fine because they align with the sort of aesthetic of Magic the Gathering anyway, so it's not too weird to me that, you know, there's like Tarrasques and stuff running around.
Yeah, that would be a, like, I mean, it's kind of funny to even think about it, but like, it weirdly immersion breaking, if that's what you're used to or come to Fortnite or come to Magic for.
I'm open to the idea that like Magic itself is immersion breaking because of the weird shit that happens anyway. So like, I don't know. I'm okay with it, but I got to draw a line somewhere, you know?
I do like the idea though of your point where this could actually impact the economy and some of those cards.
For sure.
Yeah. So you should be like, rooting for strategic partnerships so that you can send your kid to college someday based only on your prolific Magic the Gathering collection.
I mean, that's my biggest fear, really, is that Magic will print cards that are like chase cards that are very good, but nobody, you know, if they don't buy it and it doesn't get reprinted and the licensing lapses, you will never be able to find these cards.
Right.
And once again, cards that are very strong and people want to play with and are fun will be high demand, hard to come by. People won't be able to find them. Like, that sucks, right? Like, I want people to play this game because it's a great game, you know? There's always a chance that they make like functional reprints. Like, they print a card that's like looks like Gandalf, but it's called like Mandolf or whatever.
Randolph. You
know? Or it's like, it's not Ryu, it's Kiyu, and it basically does the same shit. I mean, that's always a possibility, I suppose. But
that seems like it's a move just for collectors, you know, because it's like, you don't want to piss off the collectors, so you change it just enough so that their thing is still of value, you know?
I mean, that's the weird, tricky thing that Wizards does, right, is they can't bottom out them. Look, it's cardboard. They could print all of these into the ground if they wanted to, but that would piss off stores that sell singles.
Right.
That being said, there's just wide consensus in the space that Wizards of the Coast is very stingy with their reprints, and they need to just start printing the shit into the fucking ground, especially the staples for Commander. Like, there are cards that there's no reason some of these cards should be as expensive as they are.
Right.
But that's a tangent.
That's its own podcast. Yeah. Fascinating. ExperiencePoints@gmail.com is our email address.
And ExperiencePoints.net is our website. Eventually we'll be in Fortnite, but until then, you can find our podcasts wherever you find podcasts. Do us a favor, tell a friend, and leave us a review.
All right. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. Until next time, we will talk to you soon.
Ciao.